TED Audio Collective.
Hey, it's Elise Hu. You're listening to TED Talks Daily, and today's episode is going to make you hungry. It's a talk from baker and entrepreneur Christina Tozzi at TED Women 2021. Between the behind-the-scenes stories of sumptuous cakes, cookies, and ice cream, Tozzi shares a resonant message about how breaking the rules and challenging your own assumptions can make for a sweet life. Please stick around after for an expanded conversation between Christina and me on site at the conference. It was a pleasure, and I hope you enjoy it. This show is brought to you by Schwab. With Schwab investing themes, it's easy to invest in ideas you believe in, like electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more. Choose from over 40 themes. Buy as is or customize the stocks in a theme to fit your goals. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing. TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
My very first food memory was when I was 3 or 4. It was a warm day, and my mom had just picked me and my sister up from school, buckled us into the back of her dusty blue Ford Taurus. She was halfway out of the school parking lot when she pulled over to the side. She strangely reached for her purse that was resting on the dashboard, started fishing around for something until she found it. Then she twisted around to us, and she tore open a yellow paper bag of slightly melted sugar babies. She poured a few of the pellets into each of our tiny hands. Now, I want to be clear. This was not a normal mom thing. This was breaking several rules. It was after lunch, but before dinner. We were in the car. We hadn't done anything spectacular to be celebrated. And sugar babies are, well, pure sugar. I was so confused. But I was a kid, so I took the candy and I started chewing. I felt like I had just been inducted into the coolest club possible. The one that eats candy on a random Wednesday. And then the world, it slowed down. Everything faded. And then everything sharpened. There was only one word for what I felt in that moment. Magic. Real magic. Now, most people think, that's kind of crazy, 3 or 4 years old. I don't remember anything about my childhood for years after that. But I remember that day, I remember those sugar babies, and I remember that feeling. Now, most people think of magic as a trick, right? Abracadabra, this seemingly impossible act put on purely for entertainment. But I'd like to challenge that. Magic, real magic, is not an illusion. Real magic is the feeling when life transformed from the ordinary into the extraordinary. And not only is it real, it is the very thing that connects us to this world, to one another, to our entire existence. It's the spark of a moment. It's the feeling of believing, of belonging, of getting, of being gotten. It is the crack that opens up our hearts and reminds us to let light in. Now, I own Milk Bar, this quirky American-style bakery that I'll tell you a little bit about later. And I have found that magic is often created by breaking some sort of rule. Like the no sweets before dinner rule, or wearing overalls to a corporate board meeting, or simply daring to defy the expectations of the people around us. Now, as a kid, breaking the rules usually only got us in trouble, right? But as adults, it's a different story. Breaking the rules, pushing boundaries, challenging the norm, asking why not? It does something to us. It shakes us from sleepwalking, and it makes space for magic to sneak in. Now, I was raised by matriarchs, fierce, heroic grandmas who loved to bake in their free time. And they knew good and well that food was for nutrition and sustenance, but they didn't care. They baked as their way of breaking the rules. They'd make batches of lemon bars instead of casseroles or one-pot wonders. And they'd put those baked goods in baggies and hand them out, hand that magic out to the most unassuming people, the newcomer to the neighborhood, the mail carrier, or my personal favorite, the receptionist at the dentist office. Now, I knew what the receiving end of magic felt like from that sugar baby moment. But witnessing what the giving part of real magic did, it moved these people. It was awe-inspiring. And so I decided that baking would be my way of making magic in the world, creating a moment and then giving it away. A magic pyramid scheme, basically, that I wanted, needed more of. Only my mom and my grandmas thought that baking was just a hobby. But I knew it could be more than that. So I moved to New York City to become a professional pastry chef. I went to culinary school. I climbed the ladder of fancy restaurants making fancy desserts to become the very best of the best. Only I never found magic in those beautiful, delicate, plated desserts. I could only find my magic in a cookie or a slice of cake or a gooey underbaked pie. And so when I opened Milk Bar, that bakery that I was telling you about, I decided I wasn't gonna frost the sides of the cake like the textbooks taught me. I decided I was gonna load cookie dough with marshmallows or pretzels and potato chips and butterscotch chips and coffee, tossing convention out the window. I wanted people to eat birthday cake, not just on their birthday, but any day they wanted. I knew that my magic came in the form of these simple baked goods, but I also knew that simple, approachable, accessible, nostalgic flavors were my best jumping off place to create new desserts. Almost as though fancy were the enemy of delicious. I'd go to county fairs to nosh. I'd go to the diner and order slices of pie from that revolving display case. I'd take French fries and dip them in chocolate milkshake and dream. And then I'd go into the kitchen and tie on my apron and start mixing up a new creation, rooted in something known and safe and loved, but reaching far beyond what anyone thought accessible or approachable or doable. Breaking the baking rules became my daily ritual. I mean, who says a layer cake can't taste like salty, multi-sweet pretzels? I mean, my culinary instructors, for one. Watch me, I'd think. And I'd take pretzels, toast them in the oven to deepen their flavor, then grind them into a powder-like consistency and substitute some of the cake flour in a recipe for that pretzel powder. It's pretty good. When I was opening Milk Bar, I knew I wanted to serve ice cream, a rebellious kind of ice cream. No surprise, right? So I decided to buy a soft serve machine, which for the record was very rebellious at the time. Had to decide what flavor to make. I mean, why do we only accept chocolate and vanilla as ice cream flavors? I needed to come up with something better, different. Push that boundary. I needed to come up with a flavor of milk that was different. Milk is like the base of any great ice cream. So I sought out inspiration at my 24-hour bodega, favorite place to go. Because that's where we all shop. That's where our simple taste buds are formed. It's the flavors we know. up and down the aisles till I hit it. My favorite section of the grocery store as a kid, the cereal aisle. Now, as a kid, my mom and I had an agreement. I was a pretty picky eater, and we agreed that I could have as much cereal as I wanted as long as I drank all the calcium-rich milk at the bottom of the bowl. I mean, I thought it was highway robbery. Does she not understand how good that sugary, sweet milk was at the bottom? Well, that's interesting. That's a really delicious flavor of milk. It moved me. It made sense to me. But would it make sense to other people? Figured I'd give it a try. So I went back to the kitchen and made the equivalent of a giant bowl of cereal. I strained out all that delicious milk and I spun it into ice cream, put it on the menu. And I gotta tell you, even now, people stop me on the street to tell me about their cereal milk ice cream moment. So good, seemingly a little naughty. I mean, how did I know that was their flavor? That's the flavor they eat when they're wearing pajamas, when no one's looking, the flavor of their childhood. These people will tell me about every detail of the day. They will tell me about the weather, the company they kept, the way that an ordinary moment was transformed into something magical with a simple bite. I built my business with the same challenge the norm mentality. Rather than measure my business's success by the profit or loss sheet, by the average order value, the other metrics that businesses use to know if they're doing well, I decided we'd measure our impact by the twinkle in people's eyes, by the, I can't put that down feeling that they had when they ate one of our desserts. I chose to put women at the helm of my organization because when I looked around the hospitality industry, people running operations, folks holding CEO titles, they were all men. I mean, why? I was raised by these fierce matriarchs who handled business. And I wanted my organization to look like that. I wanted to show the world what women were capable of and what a bakery could be. Push back on that cute little box people like to put us in. And in turn, the rules broke for us. The magic, our magic, got out. Word spread without us spending a dollar on marketing. Rare in our industry, we grew our business without diluting the business. I mean, we won awards no tiny East Village bakery has any business winning. It's pretty incredible. Even today, I get to witness that feeling, that same one that my grandma's conjured up in my childhood. We ship cakes all across the country. We keep our doors open from early in the morning until late at night. It's insane for a bakery to do. But we do it because we're obsessed with it. We're obsessed with what we do. We teach classes. We share recipes despite any concerns of copycats or intellectual property infringements because that's what you do when you benefit from what came before you and you plan on passing it along long after you. When, thank you. When you know you're here to give, not take, and leave this place better than you found it. See, Mom, you can bake for a living. Pretty cool if you ask me. Now, I don't have the full equation cracked, but I do know that it starts with a decision to act. My mom, she could have driven that car home routinely, but she decided that that day would not be like the others. She threw out that rule book for just a second. I carry this lesson with me, that every day has within it hundreds, thousands of opportunities to create real magic. Only they disappear unless you reach out and grab them. Thank you.
Hey, y'all, it's your host, Elise, and I'm sitting here with Christina Tozzi now. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Elise. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, our first question for you is, 10 minutes isn't long for a talk. Mm-mm. So what's something you wish you could have included on stage that maybe you just didn't have time to?
You know, my talk was all about creating real magic by breaking the rules. That is what I do in my daily life outright, but certainly as a baker in my professional life. And for me, that like call to action is really like find your thing, the thing that moves you, that you're super passionate about, find your way of making real magic in the world. Then give yourself to it, like work up the ladder in your field, in your place, and then break the rules. And when you break the rules, do it and shout it from the rooftops and know that the world will be better and changed and different and in a better place because of it.
What was a moment or when did you realize that rule breaking could actually lead to a boost for the bottom line, that it could lead to a business win?
I don't think I realized it until I opened Milk Bar.
Okay.
And even then, I think it took me a year or two or three to understand that that was not a thing, but the thing.
Hmm.
And what we were doing was so much more about breaking the rules and standing behind like the delicious art of baked goods. So it's a delicate balance. It's not like speeding home and getting
Anarchy.
A ticket. It's sort of like challenging the norm, pushing the boundary. Exactly. It's not about the anarchy of it. The rules that exist that should be broken and reminding people that there's permissibility in this life and there's individuality in standing up for those things.
Of course, some of the norms in bakeries or in business exist because they work, right?
Yes.
Secret recipes, or you talked about in your talk, pipelines, limited
yes.
quantities. I'm guessing that those work, and that's why a lot of competing bakeries do them. So in order for you to take a risk and, you know, challenge these norms, what was happening within sort of you, and did you have a certain safety net that allowed for this kind of risk-taking?
It's interesting because as a kid, I was a total rule follower. Like I was totally like the straight-laced, good grades. My mom will probably tell you I broke one or two rules, but like I was very by the book and straight-laced. And it wasn't until I got older, until I was 18 or 19 or 20, that I started to figure out how I saw the world and what made sense to me. And a lot of what made sense to me was feeding people and giving people, like passing on a spirit of positivity or a nicety that they wouldn't normally receive because it had so much power. It did such incredible moving things. Hmm. I didn't have a safety net, but I'm pretty hard-headed. For as straight-laced as I was, I'm pretty hard-headed. And it was like nothing else made sense to me except for that. And so it wasn't about needing or wanting a safety net. It was sort of like, I mean, what's the worst that happens? I'm wrong, but I'm putting goodness out into the world. I had never had an example where putting goodness into the world ever caused someone to fail. And that was my value proposition. That was my business proposition for myself. And it's translatable, I think, to businesses far beyond Milk Bar, far beyond a bakery business.
You also mentioned in your talk that you came up at a time when the food and beverage and hospitality industry was extremely male-dominated, and it still is. It's a notoriously male-dominated one. What changes have you seen in your decade plus that maybe indicate things are getting more equitable?
Yeah.
And if not, what changes would you like to see?
Ooh, that's a good question. The industry has changed greatly. I think that a lot of local and on the local and federal level, a lot of changes have been made to like actually guarantee that minimum wage is minimum wage. When I was in it, girl, minimum what? Who are you going to tell about that? And it was more of this emotional rite of passage to just throw your body in harm's way at all costs and at all odds. And it was a badge of honor that, like, thinking about it and looking back at it, you're like, ooh, that was not a good – there are so many different ways to get the badge of honor. I think what we're finding nowadays, which I love, both in the spirit of entrepreneurship being such a powerful one and the barrier to entry to opening – to bringing your food vision or view to life – I think you're just getting a lot more new and emerging talent and folks that are just breaking the chains of what it takes to get into it and what it takes to work your way up. And then what you get are a ton of different voices and perspectives and people with backgrounds. We're getting this diversity. And the coolest part about it is that in tandem, everyone else is becoming a foodie and we're becoming more curious and open-minded. And we want to be wowed. Like, we're not that excited by the classics anymore. We're excited by what we don't know and what is new to us. And that is fueling a whole new inception of what our industry looks like. And that's really exciting to me.
And it fuels so much more deliciousness, I
imagine.
Well,
I mean, it's good for all of our bellies.
Right.
I still think there's a lot of work to be done on the economics of it because there is, to your point earlier, like there are a lot of risks that you take financially. There's not a lot of fallback there. And people put their whole lives into making just pennies on the dollar. And I think as customers – we have to, consumers, we have to remember that it's still a really challenging, vicious industry and one that needs, I think, more of an open-mindedness to us. When we show up for a great meal or a bite or to ship something to our front door, that there is so much that goes into putting yourself on a proverbial plate. And for us to be open-minded and generous about it the way that we're generous about, I don't know, like buying a car or going on a vacation or whatever it is. And I think that's the support that the up-and-coming generation of the food industry really needs from us as a totality of people, as well as just like an open-mindedness, insatiable appetite for new flavors and new perspectives and new directions.
I love that. Fantastic. All right, Christina Tozzi, thank you so much.
Thank you.